Item 8, update on the draft order R1 2014 general waste discharge requirements and draft order R1 2014 conditional waiver for wine, beverage, and food processing waste to land. And we'll call on Rachel Pratt and Rhonda Raymond of our staff.
Good afternoon, Mr. Chair, members of the board. Sorry for the delay. I'm Mona Doherty, the senior engineer in charge of our stormwater and wastewater programs. And we're here today to give you an update on the work we're doing to renew our existing general winery permit and turn it into a winery and food processing permit. Right now, we have a draft permit out for public comment, and we're planning to bring it to you for consideration in November. So we're going to give you some background on our current regulatory program for winery and food processors, discuss why an updated permit is needed, discuss the key elements of the permit update, and the stakeholder and outreach process. I'd like to begin by providing you with some background information on the number of wine, beverage, and food processing facilities in our region and explain the historical permitting of discharges from these facilities. Processing facilities in our region include wineries, breweries, cider houses, distilleries, post-slaughter cut and wrap meat processors, fruit and vegetable processors, and dairy product manufacturers, among others. According to CWIX, our statewide database, there are approximately 220 wine, beverage, or food processing facilities located within the North Coast region that have applied for some type of permit coverage. We believe there are an additional number of processing facilities that discharge waste to land that have not applied for permit coverage. Of the 220 facilities identified in CWIX, 38 are authorized to discharge under individual waste discharge requirements, while 46 are enrolled in our general winery waste discharge requirements. So, a little bit more about our existing general winery WDRs. These cover discharges from wineries producing over 200 gallons of wine per year. It covers the reuse or disposal of processed wastewater and processing solids, such as pumice, to cultivated land. Above-ground discharges of treated wastewater must not exceed effluent limits, cited in the WDRs for BOD, total suspended solids, and settleable solids. And the wastewater can be used for irrigation and frost protection. The existing WDRs allow for subsurface disposal of wastewater as well. And also, these existing WDRs allow for groundwater monitoring if the executive officer designates that, but we haven't generally done that. So wastewater staff is in the process of revising the general WDRs. Currently, a draft of the proposed permit is out for, and conditional waiver are out for public comment. And so the reasons that we're doing this revision include we want to incorporate new current laws and regulations. The existing permit is 12 years old, and those regulations and statewide policies developed after 2002 need to be incorporated into the order. One such policy is the State Board Recycled Water Policy, which requires compliance and waste discharge requirements with water quality objectives for salts and nutrients. The existing general winery WDRs do not address these constituents. Another reason to revise the general winery WDRs is to recognize a new conditional waiver for smaller processing facilities that discharge 1,500 gallons per day or less of processed wastewater. The existing winery permit requires that facilities that produce 200 gallons of wine a year or more obtain coverage under the permit. This permit update and draft conditional waiver reflects staff's experience that it's more appropriate and protective of water quality to regulate based on wastewater flow rate rather than production of wine. With staff's better understanding of implementing the program and threat to water quality posed by these small facilities, we propose to have facilities discharging 1,500 gallons per day or less enroll in a conditional waiver. This flow rate threshold was selected because counties sometimes, but not always, regulate flows under 1,500 gallons per day that discharge to subsurface. However, they do not regulate those that discharge above ground. Staff has relied on this to date and has postponed enrollment in the current WDRs for these small facilities pending development of the conditional waiver. Adoption of the conditional waiver will provide a more clear and comprehensive regulatory structure. Oh, I didn't cover everything, sorry. An additional reason for the revision is to expand coverage to other types of beverage and food processors, such as breweries, cheese processors, cut and wrap, some of the other ones I discussed earlier. And we want those to be able to propose participate in the streamlined permitting process as well. So of the 38 processing facilities that we discussed earlier that are authorized to discharge under individual waste discharge requirements, the average age of those permits is 22 years, so they're quite outdated, and this new permit will allow us to put the facilities under a new updated permit and rescind those old WDRs. The proposed general winery the proposed general WDRs and draft conditional waiver contain additional requirements beyond what is currently required in the general winery permit. In addition to expanding coverage to other types of processing facilities, the proposed orders include the adoption of the conditional waiver that I mentioned before, new water quality-based effluent limits for the above-ground reuse or disposal of processed wastewater, the requirement for a facility-specific salt nutrient management plan for facilities enrolled under the general waste discharge requirements that want to apply wastewater to land at concentrations exceeding the effluent limits for nutrients and want to reuse processed solids as a soil amendment. Groundwater monitoring is required by the waste discharge requirements for subsurface discharges of processed wastewater. And now Rhonda is going to explain the proposed waiver in more detail.
Can I ask a question, Mona, before we get too far?
Sure.
You'd mentioned in your previous slide that some of the existing permits out there now are 22 years old.
That's the average, yes. Some of them are quite a bit older.
In the new approach and looking to expand this program, will these new permits have sunset clauses so they're renewed every 5 years or just some number I'm throwing out? But is there some way not to just let them go on ad infinitum without being checked on every once in a while?
Well, the idea behind waste discharge requirements is that they are updated periodically and reviewed. Unfortunately, because of staff resources, we don't renew them as often as we would like. So we try to do a really good job when we do renew them. But generally, we try to review and update them every 10 years. Additionally, the waiver sunsets within 5 years. So the waiver will need to be reviewed and renewed every 5 years.
So it's a bit counterintuitive. You're saying you don't have enough staff now to go out and do it as often as you like, and yet we're going to be expanding this program to have more permits to be need to be checked.
I wouldn't say we're actually expanding the program. The program currently exists that we need to regulate these facilities, but we don't have very easy tools to use. So this is going to be a way that it's actually going to take less staff time and also less trouble for the facilities to enroll in the general permit rather than having us have to deal with a bunch of individual waste discharge requirements.
Good afternoon. My name is Rhonda Raymond, and I'm the lead staff person of the winery program. Today I'll be discussing the major components of the draft conditional waiver. The waiver applies to processing facilities discharging 1,500 gallons per day or less. To obtain coverage under the waiver, a permittee must submit a complete notice of intent. Coverage under the waiver will begin once a notice of coverage letter has been issued by the executive officer. The conditional waiver will cover the same types of wine, beverage, and food processing facilities covered by the general WDRs, but with a lower flow. As mentioned earlier, this is a flow rate staff's experience indicates poses a low threat to water quality and the best implementation of the program. The waiver will cover both above-ground irrigation reuse or disposal of processed wastewater and subsurface discharge of processed wastewater to land. The waiver also covers the reuse of processed solids as a soil amendment. Combined treatment systems that receive both processed wastewater and domestic wastewater will be eligible for coverage under the waiver only when using subsurface disposal. At this time, there is no fee associated with the waiver, but State Board sets the fee schedule and may include one in the future. The waiver also requires monitoring and annual reporting. Next, Rachel will be discussing the general permit for you. Thank you.
Good afternoon, Chairman Corbett and members of the board. I'm Rachel Pratt, environmental scientist with the wastewater program. Today, I will be discussing the new effluent limits in the draft WDRs, the requirement for a facility-specific salt and nutrient management plan, and the groundwater monitoring requirements. The draft WDRs require compliance with these water quality-based effluent limits for above-ground disposal. There are additional effluent limits proposed in the WDRs beyond the limits included in the existing winery permit. This is for the purpose of protection of groundwater quality. Not all facilities are required to monitor for all these constituents. The monitoring and reporting program will be based on what is likely to be in a facility's discharge. Excuse me. The State Board Recycled Water Policy requires WDRs to address salts and nutrients as part of a statewide planning effort. Excuse me. To meet this requirement, we are proposing effluent limits in the WDRs for salts and nutrients, or if the permittee proposes to discharge nutrients at concentrations higher than the effluent limits, the development of a salt and nutrient management plan. The plans will be BMP-based and are not required by a waiver. They require agronomic rate reuse, salt management, and they are to be developed by a qualified person, such as an engineer, geologist, or soil scientist with the appropriate certification and or work experience. Permittees enrolled under the WDRs that are discharging to a subsurface disposal field are required to monitor groundwater. Groundwater is to be monitored on a quarterly schedule to evaluate flow direction and quality. There are a minimum of 3 monitoring wells being required. During the development of the draft orders, we have been following a comprehensive stakeholder process that we wanted to discuss with you. We met with industry representatives early in the process and plan to meet with them again next week to discuss specific comments. A letter was sent out to all processing facilities identified in the CWIX database, to county planning staff, county planning and permitting staff, and industry groups. The letter notified them of the proposed permit update and requested they sign up for an email list subscription to receive updates on the revised permit and future public participation opportunities. We noticed the draft orders to the newspaper and to the email subscription list, as well as the public workshop we held last month. One of the comments we received at the workshop was a request for additional time to review the draft orders and prepare comments. Based on this request, the comment period was extended to a more than 45-day period, and written comments are now due by Friday, August 22nd. We anticipate receiving a significant number of comments, and we hope to bring the draft orders before you for consideration at the November 20th board meeting. Excuse me. As I mentioned, we held a workshop last month to discuss the proposed orders, and over 20 participants attended. A lot of questions came up at the workshop, including how we developed the draft effluent limits. The limits in the order were based on water quality objectives and limits that were adopted in previous permits. We will be addressing the specific comments on the limits when we respond to written comments on the orders. We also received questions on the proposed facility salt and nutrient management plans. We explained that this is our proposal to address the salt and nutrient management required by the State Board's recycled water policy. We think that this approach will allow additional flexibility for facilities to use nutrients in their wastewater and solids as a soil amendment. Or if they prefer, they can comply with the effluent limits and avoid preparation of a facility salt and nutrient management plan. We received questions about the flow rate threshold for enrollment in the waiver. And staff believes the proposed threshold is appropriate based on threat to water quality and the best way to implement the program. We explained to commenters that we would be happy to consider other methods and thresholds if they proposed them in writing. And to recap, the draft orders are currently out for public comment, and we are proposing to bring them to you in November for possible adoption. And at this time, we'd be happy to answer any questions you might have. Thank you.
Hey, board members.
Mr. Chair?
Yes.
So it sounds like there's 220-plus facilities out there now. Do you have an idea how those, I assume those all somehow either fall into a waiver or a general permit? Do you kind of have a feel? This is a flow-based permit as far as the waiver goes, right? So that, or effluent quantity waiver. Do you have any idea about kind of how this falls out, Mona, as far as how many are going to qualify for a waiver on its face and how many would be general permit?
Rachel's our CWICS expert, so do you have any thoughts about that?
I think there might be a few facilities out there that we don't know about right now, and I believe that there's some that we had this deferral until a waiver could be adopted that might be approaching the 1,500 gallons per day at this time and maybe should be in the WDR rather than the waiver. But I would say maybe 100. Under the waiver, I'm not sure. I did a search on the alcohol, tobacco, and firearms and the permits that they've issued for wine producers, and there's upwards of 700 to 800 facility permits issued within Sonoma and Mendocino County. So not all of those are discharging to land. A lot of them probably are discharging to a sewer system, so that would be printed that way. But so we have a feeling, with only knowing of 220, that there might be a significant amount that we don't know about right now.
Let me ask you, too, from the standpoint of a salt and nutrient management plan, this is a facility-specific salt and nutrient management plan, and I assume, you know, we had discussed salt and nutrient management plan in the context of basins and in a larger context. How extensive do you think a salt and nutrient management plan, do you contemplate it being for a facility? I mean, that's a... for a facility standpoint, you're talking about it's tied to the effluent and reuse and all that type of stuff. But how extensive does that plan get to be?
Well, I would imagine that it's not going to be too extensive because it really is going to be a BMP-based program. It's going to do the require that the facility know what is in their effluent as far as nutrients and do a simple calculation about area of land that they're disposing of it, and then do a little research on their the type of crops they're growing to do it.
Grids.
So it does require that a qualified person does it. I don't think that these are going to be very complicated, though. I think they're going to be less involved than what we saw with our dairy program, because the dairy requirement to do this had a lot of requirements that came from the federal CAFO regulations, and so those plans I think will be quite a bit more detailed than what we'll see for these facilities.
And those effluent limits that you actually had up there, are those kind of on par with what we see for other facilities? Those were developed, I believe you said, through what's kind of out there now. I assume those are on par when I look at pH and BOD and sodium and that kind of stuff. That's generally what we're looking at from other facilities.
Yeah, Rachel did a lot of research on that, and we reviewed water quality objectives. We reviewed what our board has adopted in the past for our land disposal for processing facilities, individual WDRs in our region. And then we also looked at what other regions were doing to address salts and nutrients from food processors. And so we Rachel, of course, is very detailed, so she has them all referenced where she got all the numbers. But generally, those are the three avenues that we followed to reach the proposed effluent limits.
Well, very nice. It looks like you could capture a kind of a broad range of facilities here, provide an incentive through a waiver if you meet those, and then have a salt nutrient management plan that is not so complicated. Seems like a pretty nice permit.
Thank you.
Nice. Thank you. Appreciate it.
Any other board comments, questions? Okay. Thank you.
Thank you.
I don't have any speaker cards, but does anyone from the public want to speak on this? Okay. And that concludes this agenda item.